There are many dams in western Wisconsin, and right now, two dams in particular are getting some media attention. First, just west of the city of Eau Claire, the dam holding back Lake Altoona is undergoing a series of repairs that have caused the lake to be drawn down by more than 6 feet. The cost of those repairs have also skyrocketed as workers have found additional issues to be addressed. Then, over in River Falls on the western side of Eau Claire, two of the remaining dams on the beloved Kinnickinnick River are in the middle of a relicensing process, and citizens there are using that as an opportunity to talk about removing the dams and letting the river run free once again. This hour, we'll talk with stakeholders involved, and we'll take your calls. This is the West Side. I'm Rich Kramer. Thanks for tuning in this frigid Monday morning. I'm joined in studio by three men involved in the projects in River Falls and on Lake Altoona. First, I'd like to introduce Josh Peterson. He is the director of Eau Claire County Parks and Forests. Josh Peterson, thanks so much for coming to the West Side.
Thanks for having me, Rich.
Good to have you on board. Next, I'd like to introduce Mike Rogney. He is with the Department of Natural Resources. He is a water regulations and zoning engineer. That's his official title. He also inspects dams in his free time. Mike Rogney, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Rich.
And Michael Page, last but not least, he's a dentist from River Falls and a spokesman for the citizens group Friends of the Kinney, one of the main drivers in calling for the decommissioning of the dams there. Thanks for being with us, Michael Page.
Thank you for having me, Rich. I look forward to it.
And listeners, we would like to hear from you as well. The number is 1-800-228-5615. If you've got a question or a comment for our guests, do you live on or near a dam? What do you think about having dams on the lakes like Manoman and Tainter and Menominee and Altoona and Eau Claire here in the Chippewa Valley? 800-228-5615. So with that, I'd like to talk about Lake Altoona. It's a man-made lake, 720 acres according to the DNR, max depth 25 feet. And the dam on it is currently, as I mentioned, going under some repairs. So Josh Peterson, how old is this infrastructure that we're talking about?
The dam was built in 1938. It was a WPA project back when they were putting people to work and giving people an opportunity to make some money and do some public works projects. So
very cool.
Yep.
And size-wise, I mean, is this a very large? I've not actually seen it.
Yeah, it's considered a large dam, a high hazard dam. So it is one of the more significant dams in this area.
Okay. Since we're getting into terms, I'd like to bring Mike Rogney in right away. What are the classifications? Because some, like the River Falls dams, are regulated by the federal government, some by the state DNR. What's the cutoff? Are there different levels of dam size?
So they're the federally regulated ones. The DNR doesn't really do much with those, I guess. I mean, we help out with the environmental conditions and everything. What the DNR regulates is large. We have all dams, so small and large. But large dams get more. We look at them more, I guess, under Chapter 31. Mm-hmm. There's higher regulations. What classifies a large dam is based off the size of the volume that it stores and the size of the structural height of it.
Okay.
So if it's 6 feet in structural height and impounds 50 acre feet or more of water, that's a large dam. Or if it's 25 feet in structural height and impounds 15 acre feet or more, that's also a large dam.
Okay.
So a large dam has different requirements under NR 333, which includes like a dam failure analysis. And that's where the hazard rating stuff comes into play.
Okay.
And the hazard rating is not based off of what the condition the dam's in. It's based off of the probability of loss of life, health, and property.
Oh, so if worst case scenario kind of a situation.
Right. So we run these, or the consultant who's hired to do it runs these models, and you can determine what kind of elevation the water level gets downstream. And if it like impound or raises water level by 2 feet on a house or something like that, then it's going to be high hazard dam.
Okay. So the high hazard dam on Lake Altoona, it's WPA project. I think that's fascinating. Whenever I stumble upon that, if I'm walking down the street, I'll see WPA or something on a sidewalk. I'm a history buff, so I love it. Is it a power generation dam or is it for flood control? What is it there for? Josh Peterson.
Yeah, it is. It is not a power generating dam. I know that idea was floated around probably about 30 years ago. There was some discussion on that. The lake is basically there for recreation, I guess, is the main purpose in providing some residents an opportunity to live on a water body there. We do have a county park that's on the lake, which is a very popular spot for all kinds of activities, beach use, fishing, and it's probably one of our highest used parks in the county.
So it was built just for recreation, or
I guess I don't know the true purpose to it back then, why they actually built it, but I guess now I would consider it a recreational water body for sure.
And what's interesting, looking at back at some of the histories of these dams, I mean, there were dams everywhere back in the 1800s, and you know when they were harnessing it for power, much like what's the story in River Falls, looking at some of the research there, Michael Page, there were mills all along that small city.
Yeah, absolutely. The city of River Falls has had as many as 8 to 10 different dams in the Kinnekinnick River since the civilization started there in 1848. The founder of the city of River Falls, Joel Foster, moved to the area because he was in Stillwater looking for a place to settle, and he heard about the waterfalls of the Kinnekinnick River in what is now the city of River Falls, and moved to River Falls in order to investigate those waterfalls to see if they could be used as a power source. And
sure.
Initially they were. I mean, they were harnessed by multiple different individuals that ran mills in town for many years until the milling industry died out in the late 1800s.
And even in the city of Eau Claire here, we've got the Dells Pond and the dam there, and that originally I think was built for logging purposes to try to control the logs and send them down the chute. Anyhow, Eau Claire County announced in early October, this was the first that I heard of it, perhaps plans were in the works before that, that Lake Altoona would have to be drawn down in order to perform some repairs on the dam. Were these regular maintenance things, Josh Peterson, or was that already when you had noticed there was a problem?
Sure. The project started out smaller. It started out as just a basic concrete repair project and was not going to require any drawdown of the lake or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
As the contractor started working on the project, which was just concrete repair work on the backside piers on the river side, the downstream piers, they started doing some demo work on these piers and noticed that the concrete was basically deteriorated to a point where the piers needed to be rebuilt completely.
Wow.
So as they started doing that, they contacted us. We discussed the project with DNR, with our consultant, and we needed to draw down the water level to perform this work that needed to be done.
So to try to help someone visualize it, the piers are the concrete structures that go behind the dam. There's gates, and then there are piers?
Correct, yeah. So in between each gate, there's 6 gates on this dam. So there would be 12 piers, and in between each of these piers is where the dam, it's very important structurally to the dam that these are in good shape, so it's definitely work that needed to be done.
It's kind of like the bracing that holds the whole thing up, right?
Correct.
So if I may, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to try to oversimplify this. When they were, the contractor was going to rebuild some of the concrete or refurbish some of it, they noticed it was just falling apart?
Yeah, so the surface work that they were doing is just surface work, down to maybe 2 inches of concrete being removed.
Okay.
So as they got to 2 inches, they still weren't getting to sound material, which they needed for their application of their product. So they kept on chiseling away, and that's when we noticed, hey, we're past 50% of the way into these things, they're past a point where they can be salvaged and they do need to be rebuilt. So,
and as a department director, when you get that kind of news, What's going through your mind?
Well, obviously, the first thing you think about is dollar signs. What's this project going to cost? The second thing, again, with a lake like Lake Altoona, that's a high-use lake, with all the residents, I believe there's about 272 different residents, households that live on that lake.
Sure.
You think about those inconveniences to those folks and how we're going to coordinate everything to make this work within a timely manner.
Oh, 800-228-5615. We're talking about dams in western Wisconsin. If you've got a story that you'd like to share or a question or a concern, give us a call. 800-228-5615. We go to the phones now, and we've got Dan. Dan.
Hello.
You're on the air. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I live on the lake there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the dam was built for flood control for the city of Eau Claire, not for recreation.
Okay.
And so I think the city of Eau Claire may have a stake in maintaining that dam. And we're having such an issue with the sediment there. And the impoundment is no different than any other impoundment in the world, except they all use their mud gates to flush out the sediment. It's just going to be futile to keep on dredging there. And as you can see in other places where they maintain downstream, the riparian areas, they flush the sediment out in order to build beaches and fill in the rocks for the wildlife. And as you can see below the dam, it is a hard rock desert all the way down to the Chippewa River. Back in the 60s, it was all full of helgramites and crayfish, and you could catch 100 smallmouth a day down there.
Hmm.
And the dam was built to have a hydroelectricity produced there, and that would be a good way to maintain the dam if they got a dynamo in there, started making power.
All right. Gotcha, Dan. Hang on the line a bit here. I want to get back to you in a bit. First of all, Josh Peterson, what about the possibility of Eau Claire, the city of Eau Claire, having a stake in this? Is there any way to get them to share some of the cost with you?
I'm not really sure on that one. I've never had any of those discussions with anyone from the city, so I guess that would be for future consideration.
Okay, and with regards to Dan was mentioning the mud gates. I've heard of flood gates and mud gates. I think I'm understanding what it would be. Mike Rogney, can you give us some explanation of what mud gates are?
Yeah, usually a mud gate is where it's like the low water draw. That's kind of they either use to help drain the lakes once it gets further, because obviously the Tanner gates, there's another. That's 10 feet down, and then there's got obviously another, 10 feet, so there's got to be a way to drain that water.
Mm-hmm.
With these old dams, a lot of those mud gates haven't been operated in 30 years. We do typically recommend that people do it, but if we do operate it, then they get stuck open, that's kind of an issue. So
yeah.
It's kind of touchy with operating those right now. I know that one in Altoona hasn't been operated in a little bit, but It's just and sometimes an issue with opening it if it gets stuck open.
Sure.
If they're large or so.
If it's stuck open, you could drain the whole thing,
right.
I would think. Okay.
So it's a safety issue, and we don't want to get rid of the lake and everything, so it's just...
Gotcha. Josh Peterson, could the county do, while you're doing repairs on these piers, maybe try to spruce up the mud gate and try to do some flushing there?
Yeah, that is a topic that we discussed several times throughout this project, and as Mike mentioned, the mud gate on the Altoona Dam has not been operated in probably 30, 35 years at least,
mm-hmm.
from staff that can recall back that far. Obviously, our concern is this thing hasn't been moved in that long. What if we do get it open and we're not able to close it, then what happens? Which I know has occurred at other dams, so we definitely didn't want to take that chance with this project.
All right. And Dan, if you're still on the line,
yeah, I'm here.
The lake is down now quite a bit. Are you able to, I know some talk, there has been some talk of doing some fish cribs or doing some habitat stuff. Are you able to do any of that?
Oh, well, you're asking me about, you're asking me, Dan?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well.
I'm just, is there any way to take advantage of the...
It's a mismanaged mud puddle out there. Oh. You can't even navigate it. When I was young, there was diving boards on the river. You could drive all the way to Big Falls with a boat. And it's just a desert out there. It's getting worse. The fish's population is dropping. You don't have the volume to save downtown Eau Claire. Once the confluence project is knee deep in water, maybe they will consider the floodgates and getting some volume up there, because they are saying it's for the safety concern. Well, the time now is to fix the mud gates rather than having a catastrophe. During the flood of 93, you could be a quarter mile away from the dam, and there was houses with dishes shaking in the cupboards due to the fact of the pressure behind these dams. We just about lost a dam on Lake Eau Claire. So I think you need some volume there so you have a little bit of leeway to play with some water so you can hold back water and you can let it downstream so we don't flood out downtown Eau Claire.
Gotcha.
I know the whole drainage system way out to Clark County, and there's just no way you're going to get enough riprap out there or plant enough willow trees to stop the sediment from coming down. And the way to do it is to open those mud gates and flush it out. And so what if the lake drains out? Up in Prairie Farm, the DNR told them that they could not dredge. Well, they opened their dam up for a couple years. The whole place sluiced out. They shut the gates. They have pontoons on their old mill pond with houses being built around it. So, I mean, it's a the most effective way to do it.
Gotcha.
Putting $400,000 into it now, I mean, why stop halfway? I mean, let's get a generator in there that'll offset the cost for maintenance now and into the future.
Dan, we got you. We appreciate the call and appreciate the questions and the comments. What about the possibility, Josh Peterson, of getting a dynamo in there, of generating some power? I mean, we're talking cost, no matter what what option we're talking about. Would it be too much for the county to handle?
I'm not sure how an operation like that would be handled. I do know that with a lot of those lakes that have those types of facilities, there is larger fluctuations in the water level, so bigger swings up and down, which would be obviously a concern for the people that live on the lake. But, you know, until that topic is really pushed forward, it's something that I think would be a difficult thing to really pass and sell here.
Even the mudgate situation, I mean, would that just cost prohibitive, or?
I guess... It's very tough to say. I have no idea what would happen if we couldn't get that mud gate back down.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'd rely on Mike's guidance a little bit on that as well. But it is something that is not in the immediate plans right now for me.
Sure. And Mike Rogney, we've already kind of talked about this, but the DNR, does it have requirements that municipalities or whoever owns a dam flush a mud gate out or something like that? Flush sediment?
Not really any requirements, I know, but like I said, we typically recommend that they do operate it. But like I said, with a lot of these old structures, you know, there's a risk with opening them. So we do it delicately, you know, and it's a lot of things you got to look at when doing it. And I agree. I mean, with operating them, it helps flush out the system, and that's why we do recommend it. It's just with these old structures, there's some particular issues you got to take into account. So
800-228-5615 is the number to call. We're talking about dams in western Wisconsin, focusing on two in particular, the dam on Lake Altoona, which is on the Eau Claire River, and then the dams, two dams in River Falls. We'll be talking about them more in depth in just a bit. I'm joined by Josh Peterson. He's the director of Eau Claire County Parks and Forest. Mike Rogney is with the Department of Natural Resources, Water Regulations and Zoning. He's an engineer in that area. And Michael Page, he is from River Falls. He's a spokesman for the Citizens Group Friends of the Kinney, which is calling for the removal of two dams there. We're going to take a quick break. We've got calls on the line. We'll be back in just a bit. This is The West Side.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from the University of Wisconsin Press, distributor of the music CD Midwest Ramblin' by the Goose Island Ramblers. More information is at uwpress.wisc.edu. Support also comes from the Mabel Tainter Center for the Arts in Menominee. The Twin Cities-based male a cappella ensemble Tonic Soul Fa comes to the Mabel Tainter Saturday, January 23rd. Details and tickets are at mabeltainter.org.
I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio stations 88.3, Menominee Eau Claire, and 88.7 in River Falls. Thanks for tuning us in. We're talking about dams in western Wisconsin. I'm joined by Michael Page, Mike Rogney, and Josh Peterson. If you've got a question or comment, give us a call, 800-228-5615. We've got a caller on the line right now, Adam in Eau Claire. You're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, thanks for having me on, guys.
What's on your mind?
I was talking about Lake Altoona and Kinnickinnick, but I was just wondering if you could comment on the dam up in the Totagaddock flowage. I know it's looking like it's not going to be replaced. The DNR can't come up with funds. That's how I see it. But I would like to see that stay. I've been going up there since I was 12 years old, and it's a great, great wildlife area. And I think it'd be a shame if it wasn't upheld. So I guess if you guys could just comment on that a little bit.
Sure, we'll do our best. Are you talking about up by Minong?
Yeah, it's just north of Hayward, off of Nelson Lake.
I used to vacation out that way. Nice area.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's beautiful.
Mike Rogney, is that out of your wheelhouse, out of your service area?
Unfortunately, it's not in any of the counties that I handle. I know about the project, but I don't really know anything about what's going on, unfortunately. Sorry, Adam.
So, Adam, the way I understand it, the dam is, I mean, it's getting old, I'm sure, but do you know of any talks about getting rid of it or?
Yeah, I think there's a meeting this Wednesday up there. But just how I perceive it is that it's looking not very good.
Gotcha. Well, we wish we could comment more on it, but that's just a little bit out of our range here. Thanks for the call. Anyways, 800-228-5615 is the number to call. We've got another caller from Eau Claire. Steven, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, I like to fish below the dam that I'm getting on in years, and I find it very difficult to get up and down to the fishing platform or the area below the dam. I was wondering, as long as you have a construction company out there, if you might consider making an access stairway down to the below the dam.
Okay. Josh Peterson, any thoughts about that?
Great comment. I know that is a very popular fishing spot, and it can be difficult to get down there. So that's something that we can definitely take a look at. No guarantees, of course, but it is something that it would be a pretty substantial project to build the walkway down there. But I do think that would be something that people would definitely like and use.
So if it's not right now in the plans for the county, what could Mike or Steven, excuse me, what could Steven or other citizens that would like to see that do? Put a little pressure, they want to go to a county board meeting or something? Or how do they get?
The first thing that they could do, they could come to one of our Parks and Forest Committee meetings and discuss that with our committee. That's usually where these projects originate. And then if they need to go to county board for full approval, that would be the next step. But come to one of our committee meetings and bring the topic up.
And could that be something that a Lakes Association could fund too?
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone interested in partnering on something like that, we would definitely welcome their input.
Great. Steven, thank you so much for the call. We've got another caller, but I want to get into a little bit more about what's going on Lake Altoona. So the original project cost was estimated at $107,000. And now that you found that there's a lot more work that needs to be done, where's the total at now, ballpark?
I'd say ballpark, we're in the $400,000 range right now.
Okay. And we're just talking about complete replacement. You got to put just getting rid of a lot of concrete and rebuilding it.
Yeah, the project actually is probably nearing completion right now.
Oh.
There's six of the piers that were slated to be worked on. Four of them did need complete replacement. A fifth one did not, and the sixth one actually is pretty much a full replacement as well. So they're on the last pier. They're working on the very last pier right now. So we expect that the work should be wrapped up here within the next month or so.
So then when would you, or when do, would you be able to bring the water back?
Well, there's actually a second phase to this project that we have out for a public bidding process right now, which is work on the lake side of the dam, which is, again, some concrete repair work that we noticed after the lake level was drawn down. So after the lake level was drawn down this 6 or 7 feet, we noticed additional work that, seeing as the water level's down now, we should probably look at and consider having done. So we will be getting bids on that work back next Thursday, and after that we will discuss that and see if we want to move forward with that work now while the water level is drawn down.
And the water level will stay down pretty much all winter, then, I'd imagine.
Yeah, it'd be down all winter and then brought back up with spring runoff that comes in.
So what kind of impacts are there on the lake when it's down so far? I mean, for fish habitat, and I imagine there's not going to be a lot of activities on the ice with the water so low.
Yeah, I guess on the fish habitat, if Mike can comment on that a little bit, but obviously with no ice fishing out there, it impacts a ton of people. As you know, a lot of the people that live in Eau Claire rely on ice fishing opportunities at Lake Altoona, and it is a destination. You go out there in the winter, it's not uncommon to see a couple hundred people out there fishing. So I understand that. I'm an ice fisherman too, so it does kind of be an inconvenience.
Mike Rogney, you're not a fisheries biologist, but I imagine you know some across the street there at the DNR headquarters. Any concerns about fish with the lake level being so low?
Well, again, I can't really answer that. We'd have to let the fish guys handle that for sure. From what I've heard, there's always the river still going into it, so there'll be enough dissolved oxygen and everything like that. Obviously it's, you know, it's a different, the lake's not full, so it's different conditions. And so there may be, I can't really answer that. So,
yeah, from what I saw, Joe Gerbyshek, I believe, he mentioned the same thing that, that there should be enough oxygen. There shouldn't be any die-offs. Doesn't expect any of that, but ice fishing would be a bad idea because it'd be like shooting fish in them. Small barrel, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. 800-228-5615. We've got a caller from River Falls now. And Mike, you're on the air. What's on your mind, Mike?
I have a question for Mr. Page. It seems as though the current administration in the city of River Falls is really not very interested in, you know, seriously thinking about removing these dams. Does he know something the rest of us don't, or something maybe the community think about?
Sure. Thanks for the question. Michael Page.
Very good question. You're saying that it appears as if the administrator is not in favor of removing the dams. Is that correct?
The administration, the elected officials, or at least we certainly haven't seen anything. You know, they're willing to study it and look at it. But.
Sure. Excellent question. The local government right now, the city administrator, they're all doing a very good job of having a very open, transparent process. The city's website, rfcity.org/hydro, H-Y-D-R-O, has all sorts of information about the FERC relicensing process and the conversation going on right now in the city of River Falls. The administration, the city council, they are open to community dialogue. They are listening to people, and that is really probably why that perception is out there, is that they're really in a studying and listening phase, and they don't want to be too quick to jump on, you know, on either side of the conversation and say this is absolutely what we should do at this time. Our organization, the Friends of the Kinney, absolutely, we feel that the restoration of the Kinnikinnick River through the heart of River Falls would just be an amazing, transformative thing for our community to pursue. That's just the administration right now, the city council, they are wanting to incorporate all ideas and perspectives on the topic. So they're busy listening to people, and it's great.
And for what it's worth, we did invite members of the city administration to the program today, but they said they're going to hold off. They would feel more comfortable discussing it in spring. I think that's after some of the decisions at the federal level are made. But thank you very much, Mike, for the question. 800-228-5615 is the number to call. I'd like to switch now to the River Falls and the Tale of Two Dams. There are two dams left on the Kinnickinnick River. It's a Class 1 trout stream, beloved, like militantly beloved, if that makes any sense. Folks over there are just nuts about that river. Both of the dams are smack dab in the middle of the city of River Falls. They are Junction Falls Dam and the Powell Falls Dam. Michael Page, if you could, please tell us a little bit about them. How did they get there?
Absolutely. Well, the dams that are currently present, the Upper Junction Falls Dam was built in 1990 when they refaced the current or the previous cement structure that was there before. The old dam was built in 1920, which was actually when the upper lake of Lake George was created. Prior to that, there was not as large of an impoundment there. It was not a lake. The lower Powell Falls Dam was built out of cement in 1966, so it is a bit more aged structure and does need some repairs at this time that they're still yet to be determined what needs to be done there. But the whole situation right now in the city of River Falls is just unique in every respect. You have two hydroelectric dams that are licensed by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, in order to generate hydroelectricity. That license has only been in place since 1988, and it is currently coming up for expiration. And there's a reason why license expired. The licenses are given by FERC in order to operate a hydroelectric facility on a public resource. A navigable waterway within the United States is a public resource by definition, and the public resource in the city of River Falls is the Kinnickinnick River. And you're absolutely correct that it is just beloved by the community of River Falls. The comprehensive plan for the city of River Falls has an entire chapter devoted to the preservation of the Kinnickinnick River. It is an outstanding resource water. It is also a Class 1 trout stream. However, through the length of the Kinnickinnick River that runs through town, the two impoundments or the two mill ponds created by these two dams really are not trout habitat at all. They are not classified by the Wisconsin DNR as outstanding resource waters. There's actually approximately 2.6 miles of the Kinnickinnick River through town that is not designated as an outstanding resource water. It's only above Highway 35 and below the lower dam where the Kinnickinnick meets these designation requirements. And therefore, the stretch through town, while it's still considered a Class 1 trout stream and should be managed as such, currently fails literally in every respect to meet the definition of a river, let alone a world-class trout stream.
And these are leftover, these dams are leftover from earlier days when they were mill ponds?
Yes, they're in very similar locations to where the old dams used to be. The Upper Junction Falls Dam, actually, when it was built in 1920 out of cement, it flooded the previous dam that was a rock and timber crib dam. And that dam is still present under the waters of Lake George underneath the Winter Street Bridge in town. It's just submerged because they built a new dam that was taller and flooded it. So, yeah, similar spots because you want to harness the power of the water that's falling over the waterfalls in order to generate power. And it used to be mechanical energy. In the late 1800s, the owner of the Junction Falls Dam, I'm going to forget his first name, but his last name was Cox, his mill burned. And after it burned, he left town and gave the dam to the city of River Falls and said, here you go, city of River Falls, here's a dam. Do what you will with it. And a referendum was held and it was decided that it should be utilized for power generation and that it should be a public utility rather than privately owned. And so the city took it over in 1900. And at the time that the first hydroelectric generation was installed, it produced 100% of our electricity that the community consumed because there wasn't any other source of electricity. Yeah. And today, the two dams combined generate between 0.9 and 1.3% of the electricity that we consume as a community.
So it's been chugging along all this time. I mean, in terms of megawatts, what are we talking?
The two dams combined have a total of 375 kilowatt hours of production. Again, 0.9 to 1.3% of the electricity that we consume on an annual basis that adds up to about 1.1 to 1.5 megawatts of electricity that these dams produce.
This guy's done his homework. I appreciate that. 800-228-5615. We're talking now about River Falls and the dams there and the push by this group, Friends of the Kinney and others, to remove them. If you've got a comment or a question related to that, give us a call. Also, just if you want to talk about dams in general, let us know. 800-228-5615. Let's take one more call real quick, and we'll take a break, and then we'll be back with more discussion. Right now, we're going to hear from Dave in Augusta. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Rich.
Morning.
Hey, I fished the Chippewa Flowage quite a bit in the summertime, and I know that the recent 2 or 3 years, they've drawn down the water at the Winter Dam to historic lows, which has, in effect, killed the milfoil and the exotic weeds that have invaded the flowage, increasing the water quality and making the lake more enjoyable and better for fishing. I was wondering if Altoona, the lake in Altoona, would have the same effect with the drawdown.
Sure. Thanks for that question.
Thank you.
Josh Peterson, Lake Altoona, as with any impoundment, has got issues with invasive species, mainly milfoil and all that. Is that going to be a benefit of this drawdown, maybe that you'll kill off some of the weeds?
Honestly, I'm not really familiar with that topic, so I'm not sure.
Okay. Mike Rogney, you want to take a stab at this one?
I could try. I'd imagine it would help. I don't know if there was actually any invasives in there in the beginning.
Sure.
That'd be a lake's biologist. Hate to pass a buck on a little bit again. But
sure.
With the drawdown, too, I mean, I'm sure it helped, transport some sediment as well, I guess. Mm-hmm. There's, I guess, some positives, I guess, to it, but
all right.
Not exactly sure.
And I'm just curious, we're kind of bouncing around here, but in River Falls, the impoundments, those lakes, do they get a little ugly with the algae and whatnot, weeds?
The two dams in town create two 15-acre lakes, and both of them are practically completely filled with sediment. So, yes, absolutely. Both of these impoundments have very little recreational utility for our community due to the level of sedimentation and the just incredible algae bloom that they experience every summer. So
it's thick.
Absolutely. There's major issues with these two impoundments. If they are to be maintained in the future, something has to be done in order to make these two lakes more of a recreational amenity. Of course, we would prefer to have the trout stream and the waterfall restored, but if the dams are to stay, then these lakes need to be turned into something that they currently are not.
Well, let's talk about the when did the talks start about the surrounding removing the dams begin? I mean,
sure.
Has this been ongoing for decades, or is it now that this is maybe an opportunity, people are pouncing on it?
This has absolutely been a discussion that's been going on for decades. Within my organization, I work with individuals that were engaged in the initial licensing conversation in 1988, and at that time, there were conversations regarding the potential removal of the dams. It was nowhere near the level of conversation that is going on today, but there was some discussion. Today, we have a lot of assistance from, say, the Clean Water Act and other legislation that has demanded that when the FERC relicensing process occurs, that it considers the natural resources, that it considers recreational utilization, that it considers aesthetic values of the rivers and of the dams.
Instead of just utility.
Exactly. So the entire reason that the FERC relicensing process is going on, that the reason any dam has a license expire and they have to apply for a new license, is so that the owners of the dams, the recreational users of the river, and the local citizens can reevaluate the utilization of the public resource. And that is, in our case, the Kinnikinnick River. And so we are stepping back as a community, as owners of the dams. It is a public utility that owns these dams, and we're stepping back in order to reevaluate what is the greatest utilization of our resource. We want to find that out. When we know that answer, we can determine whether the dams should stay or go.
Talking about dams in western Wisconsin, we're focusing this last part of the hour on the River Falls, the two dams in River Falls that citizens want to remove, or some citizens that are in favor of letting the Kinnikinnick run clean through the city and kind of re-exposing the falls there. 800-228-5615. I'm joined by Michael Page. He's a spokesman for the citizens group Friends of the Kinney. Also joined by Mike Rogney, DNR Water Regulations and Zoning Engineer, and Josh Peterson, Director of Eau Claire County Parks and Forest. We'll be back in just a bit. We've got more calls on the line. 800-228-5615.
From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, I'm Al Letson of Reveal.
This story is going to be about people trying to keep secrets.
True stories that affect your world, every week on Reveal.
Was there any reason why you didn't want to tell us the truth?
We didn't lie. We just withheld information.
Because there's always more to the story on Reveal.
Tonight at 6 on the Ideas Network. Support for Wisconsin Public Radio is provided by the Harold A. and Helen D. Engel Fund, helping to keep educational information available to communities throughout the state by providing support for Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. Support also comes from Mayo Clinic Health System, encouraging people to stay active in the winter by moving outside or engaging in community-hosted events. More is on the Classes and Events page at mayoclinichealthsystem.org.
This is the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We're talking about dams in western Wisconsin. We've been getting a number of calls, and we appreciate it. Phone lines are actually full right now, but you can keep trying at 800-228-5615, or if you like, post a question or comment on our Facebook page. Also, if you missed part of the program or want to listen to it again, check out the online archives. Go to wpr.org. Click on the Shows tab. You'll find the West Side tab, and you'll have years of archives to listen to. 800-228-5615. We're talking now about the effort to remove two dams in the city of River Falls on the Kinnickinnick River, but we are going to work through the calls just the same, and we go to Bob in Beldenville. Bob, you're on the air. Thanks so much. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for having me on. Do you remember the Willow River dams before they were taken out?
Michael Page is nodding his head, so let's go to him.
Absolutely. The Mounds Dam that was just above the city there. I used to ice fish there all the time when I was in high school. And then the Willow Falls Dam as well that was removed. It used to sit right at the top of that Willow Falls waterfall that is now one of the feature amenities of the Willow River State Park.
Yeah, correct. And that was kind of a sleeper little park at the time, and now that they've taken those dams out, I don't know if you've been there since then, but it's just completely busy over the weekends, and
Absolutely.
People hike there all the time. And
Absolutely.
I don't know if River Falls realize how much is going to bring into the community by people just coming to sit around that falls and picnic. And
it is just an amazing opportunity for our community. I could not agree with you more, sir.
Because it's amazing. You know, I used to hike there all the time when the dams were there, and nobody was up there. And now they're gone, and River Falls could experience a good influx of people coming to our community.
And Michael Page, that's one of the big selling points that your group is raising, dam removal as tourism generator.
Absolutely. You have to evaluate the resource for all of its potential uses, and the best potential use, in my opinion, is to restore it, allow it to flow freely through our community, and to restore the Junction Falls right in the middle of town, which is the namesake of our community. The river is already an amazing source of civic pride. To have that waterfall restored in the heart of town and a full mile stretch of world-class trout stream running right through the middle of town instead of those two mill ponds that currently exist, I cannot imagine a more transformative project that we could undertake in our community. This is really a turning point for our community, and it would be absolutely tremendous to have this river restored.
Some of the photos that were taken before the dams were built back in the 1800s, beautiful
absolutely.
Cascading falls. And very quickly, Mike Rogney, I'm going to go to you on this with Mike Rogney of the DNR. It seems like, is there a growing trend of people decommissioning dams and removing them? Is that, I mean, because I've, in research for the show, I saw a lot of instances since the 1990s of that being done. In your neck of the woods in west central Wisconsin, are there any dam decommissioning projects right now that you can think of?
I've gone through a couple, relatively small ones. I mean, I think now it's becoming a thing because a lot of these dams are very old,
mm-hmm.
you know, so do the owners want to put in the money to fix it? And that's kind of where they weigh their options versus removal versus repairing it.
Sure.
There's a lot of values you got to take into account.
Michael Page, last summer the city of River Falls asked the federal government for a 5-year extension on its current hydroelectric license. For 5 years, with the idea that it could use this time to figure out what to do next. as part of the Kinnickinnick River Corridor planning process. We haven't really explained what that is, but the extension was denied. So does that put the city in a hot seat? What does that mean?
Well, as of the date of the denial of December 9th, they were given the option to file an appeal to that decision, and they have done so.
Right.
So this past Friday, they submitted an appeal to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission for them to reconsider and allow for a rehearing of their initial application for a five-year extension. That has been submitted to the FERC. We'll wait and see what the FERC says regarding their appeal, but absolutely, the denial order tells them explicitly that the FERC right now anticipates that they will submit an application on August 31st of 2016, either for a license renewal or for a license surrender in order to decommission the hydroelectric facility. So they have a deadline as of right now. Submitting the appeal was their choice in order to further pursue the five-year license extension. But if it is not granted, if they don't get that five-year extension, absolutely, they have a deadline of August 31st, 2016 to submit an application. Our organization, the Friends of the Kinney, the Kinnickinnick River Land Trust, Trout Unlimited, as well as the River Alliance of Wisconsin, have all suggested that with this time frame that the city really bear down and get to work on evaluating the alternatives that they have. They have either pursue relicensing or pursue a license surrender and decommission the hydroelectric facility, and they should step back right now and say, let's perform this alternatives analysis. Let's look at these two options and decide which should we do and get the ball rolling and get the job done so that we can meet that deadline in order to best inform a decision of whether those dams should stay or go.
How much would it cost to remove these dams? Who would be responsible? And, I mean, from the city's perspective, would it be cheaper for them to just maintain this thing at
sure.
the minimum output that it has rather than
sure.
knocking them down?
Well, historically, the dams have not been big moneymakers for the community. The city did a preliminary financial analysis, and they found that since 1988, had we just simply been buying and reselling the electricity that the dams produce, that's what we do for the other 99% of our electricity. We buy it, and we sell it to our customers, the River Falls Municipal Utility
sure.
Rate payers. And if we had just done that, with this electricity, we would have made $274,000 more in the last 25 years, just or 27 years, just by doing what we do with the rest of our electricity. So we have lost out on profits by operating this hydroelectric facility. They are not a big money maker for us. They, in the short term, have cash flowed about $60,000 to $65,000 per year. But dams are long-term investments, as we found with the Altoona Dam. There's always more expenses that come up. These are large, big structures that you have to maintain. The water body you have to maintain. There are many expenses involved with their continued operation. I think that maintaining the dams, getting a new license, which could cost anywhere from $220,000 to $700,000 just for the new license, is a big ticket item. I mean, that's why we're stepping back and looking at this.
How does that compare, though, to taking
sure.
down two dams?
Yeah, dam removal. I mean, it's literally just a cement wall there. If you had a cement wall of the same side and it was out in the middle of a parking lot, it would be no big deal at all to go and break it up and throw it in the back of dump trucks and haul it away. This is just a cement wall down in a valley. So you have to drive down in the valley. You have to manage the water around it. But it's literally just a cement wall. So it's not a lot of fancy engineering to remove. You just have to manage the water. The expenses, the Friends of the Kinney right now is actually pursuing fundraising and grant writing in order to fund a feasibility study for dam removal and river restoration this year, in the year 2016. So we are moving forward with gaining an estimate for dam removal and river restoration. Immediate ballpark is somewhere in the range of $1.5 to $2.5 million to remove the dams and restore the river. That's a ballpark. There is a grant available from the Wisconsin DNR. It's a $500,000 grant per dam for dam removal. So that could potentially fund $1 million right there. And they do 13 of those grants every year, and they're based on priority. And the Kinnickinnick River and River Falls would be pretty high priority for river restoration.
We'll take our final call of the hour right now. We're just getting too close to try to squeeze any more in. But Rod from Weyerhaeuser has been patient. So what's on your mind, Rod?
Yeah, thank you. I have two questions. I'd like to make one comment, though. I was aware of this for years that, Wisconsin, in the Chippewa term, Indian Native American, that it was Quinsonson or something, the gathering of water. So obviously you'll go to other states, and I've been through many states. I used to drive truck, and I'd come back to Wisconsin. I mean, it's like we don't realize how blessed we are with the water volume. And I know a lot of these dams that were flowages. Actually, they call them lakes, but they're technically flowages. Some of them, sure, like chains, like Island Lake, McCann over here south of Weyerhaeuser, Chain Lake, Clear Lake, Long Lake up north. A lot of those lakes.
Rod, we got 3 minutes.
They instigated the idea. But, you know, I was just wondering, though, like Rice Lake, they harvest that, the weeds and such and algae, and if that's feasible to derive energy from that algae that they've been talking about for 10 years. And also, 20, 25, 30 years ago, they were talking about the fish dams, that they were going to install fish dams, and I believe they did on some, but if they're ever accomplished their goal.
Sure, fish ladders on some of the dams and harvesting the algae, interesting concept. Who wants to take a stab at that one? Anyone have any thoughts? Mike Rogney.
I'm not really certain about the algae stuff. Yeah. I don't know if...
It'd be great if there were a use for it, because I know I used to live in Shawano, and on the Wolf River they're harvesting the stuff all the time.
Oh, really?
Digging it out. But Michael Page.
Could always be used for fertilizer.
There you go. All right. We've got a couple minutes left. Michael Page, what do you see happening in the next 3 years with regard to these dams? Is there going to be any action? Can you predict?
Well, there's going to be a lot of discussion. There's going to be a lot of analysis. And with the timeline as it sits right now, there certainly should be an alternatives analysis investigating which way should we move forward. And hopefully in the fall, on August 31st, 2016, there will be a submission to FERC. And whether it's for a new license or a license surrender, it will lead to a lot of further investigation on the topic. And hopefully within the next 5-10 years, we see the Kinnickinnick River restored.
Josh Peterson, the repairs in Lake Altoona, you mentioned the cost, and there's a DNR grant for that. What's to come, I guess, in the next half a year?
In the next half a year, we will obviously look at this phase two work. If that's going to be conducted, that would be done during the summer or during the spring of this year. So we'll have to see what the county wants to do and consider the long-term impacts of not doing the work right now.
All right. Thank you all for your discussion this hour. Josh Peterson is director of Eau Claire County Parks and Forest. Mike Rogney is with the DNR. He's a regulations and zoning engineer. And Michael Page is with Friends of the Kinney. Thank you all very much. Thanks for all the calls this hour. Have a safe and productive week. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. We're off next Monday morning.